So Diane's going to tell you about our school. So because of engagement with people, there was a lot of small children. And so our leaders were like, we need to start a school. And so you can talk about the school.
So we are on a team in Malawi of just two couples. So we have a leader couple, Fred and Cindy. They've been there in Malawi for about 10 years. And when they first went, they didn't really have a plan for what they wanted to do. They had been pastors in the States, and they knew that God had called them to Malawi, but weren't really sure what that meant. So they just kind of like were looking around, where is God already working that we can kind of partner with God? And I think that is one of the steps to saying, you know, what does God have for me? Is let's look around, see where God is working or where there's a need, and then just kind of step in and see what God does with that. So they saw this group of young people that really didn't have a lot of vision or a lot of hope. And they were like, you know what? They need Jesus and they need the Bible. And so they just started with a group of teenagers, just sharing the Bible with them, sharing life with them, kind of talking to them about what their interests and hopes and dreams are, which is not something that is discussed in Malawi because there really isn't a lot of hope. The kids don't dream about what they're going to become. You know, like we ask our kids, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, that's not something that they talk about in Malawi. So as they shared the gospel, shared Jesus, started living with these young people, they started asking them, like, how has God gifted you? And what would you like to do with that to serve others in the future? And I think that's kind of really what a lot of the ministries have been birthed out of, is by just getting kids into the Word, helping them to see that there's purpose and hope, and that you have a part in that greater picture of what God wants to do in Malawi or here or across the world. And so again, that's not really something amazing, right? That's something that we can all do, right? We can meet somebody where they are. We can share Jesus with them. We can walk alongside of them, and we can help them to see what are their gifts and strengths. So one of the things is that we saw there were several young people as they got older and became young adults who were really now grounded in the Word. They wanted to serve others. They loved Jesus, and they loved kids. And so there are a lot of kids in Malawi that are just running around. And so they said, well, why don't we start a preschool with some of these young people as our teachers? So they weren't actually trained teachers, which was actually a really good thing in Malawi. They just loved Jesus, and they loved kids, and they were willing to serve and learn. So we set up a six-month program where we took six teachers through a teacher training, Bible study and teacher training every day, and we kind of set up a Montessori-ish kind of preschool program where there's a lot of hands-on, a lot of play through, learning through play, a lot of interaction with the teachers and the other kids. And we opened this preschool, and we had 36 students immediately from the village that we work in that started coming to our preschool. So now not are we only discipling, you know, the young people that are in our program, but now we're discipling the children that are in our program, and children have parents. So now we're also discipling the parents, you know, encouraging them in God's word, drawing them to love Jesus and to, you know, raise their kids to love Jesus, kind of coming alongside the parents and helping them. So when we did that first year of preschool, my plan was just to like do preschool well. But as we finished preschool, the parents were like, well, our kids learned so much and they're doing so well. Now what do we do with them? We can't send them to the government kindergarten. Like, that would be such a disappointment. So I was like, well, we could probably do kindergarten, right? It's just like the next step. We can do kindergarten. So we did kindergarten the next year. It's called reception in Malawi. We did reception, and I was like, okay, so we'll do preschool and reception. What do you think happened the next year? The parents are like, well, we certainly can't send our reception kids to first grade now. What do we do? So at that point, we had been renting a building for our preschool. So God provided the property next door, actually. We were able to purchase a small property. We were able to put a school block on there and add first grade. And when I came home last summer, the plan was that there would be two classrooms. You know, okay, so I'm not a visionary, right? I like to just, like, do things well, but our team leaders are visionaries. Praise God for that. So they were like, okay, so let's build the school block. It would have two classrooms. So I'm like, okay, probably means we're going to, like, be doing second grade next year. Well, when I came back at the end of being away last summer, I found that they decided that the building block was so large, which was really not true, that they would put three classrooms in there instead of two. So last year we did first grade, and then when I go back this year, we'll be starting second grade, and we do have room for third grade. So in my not visionary mind, we're going to be doing third grade through third grade, not next year, but the following year. But I say this all to say that really, again, it's just God leading and us kind of following. And just I'm continuing to pour into my teachers every day. We have a short devotional every morning before school starts. I'm with them many times a day. I'm not the teacher. I'm not the administrator. I am the director of the school, but I'm really behind the scenes. I try really hard to not interact with parents. We're always, like, teaching my teachers, my Malawian teachers, the words to say, how to interact with the parents, but I'm not the one doing it. So I'm working myself out of a job, and school in Malawi goes until July, but I came back in May. So that gave them 2 months to be able to be on their own without me in country. And I know they get really scared and they're like, don't leave us. But I feel like it's all part of God's plan. It's really, really good for them to have some time on their own, to have some successes, have some failures. And when we go back, you know, we'll talk about what things worked well, what things we need to tweak. And I'm just thanking God for that whole opportunity. And I'm thanking God for technology also, that we can still be very connected to our staff in Malawi even while we're here. So I think I have a short video, just like a 30-second video, which just gives you a little vision of what's going on at the school. This was actually taken by a team from Wisconsin who came to visit us. Malawi is an English-speaking country, so they have tribal and native languages in the village that they speak, but their government is in English. So this is an English-speaking Christian school. So when the kids come to us and they're three, they know no English, and probably even the families that they come from know very little English, but they learn very, very quickly. And I'm telling you, our first graders are, like, almost better in English than their own teacher. They're so good. And but that also provides them some wonderful opportunities because they know English. They're going to be able to work in the government, work in the city, work in the community. So that is a really, really wonderful benefit that we're giving them at a young age to be able to learn English. So that's the school.
Okay. So I'm moving into. So when we went to Malawi, they part of us going there was they wanted a ministry for men, and so Diane worked on getting a school up and going, and she's continued to do that. And so my ministry is for men. So our leaders already had what they call a Tabitha Center, which is a sewing center for women. So women come and learn how to sew and make a tailoring program. They make complete outfits, all on treadle-powered sewing machines, you know, no electricity. And so they're really good at that, and they did a really good thing. But they were like, but we need someone to come and do something for men. And so that was how we fit into going to Malawi. And so they said, well, why don't you come to Malawi, and you could, like, do carpentry, or you could do mechanics, or you could do welding. Those are things that people are interested in. So the very first time we went and visited, we went and talked to different people in Kowali, which is the village area where we work. And then we also talked to people in the refugee camp, which is about 45 minutes away, and it's called Zaleka. It's a refugee camp in Malawi, and asked that question, like, what would men want to learn? And those were basically the things they wanted to learn. And so I was on my own to come up with something, and it seemed like mechanics was probably the easiest thing, a basic mechanics class. So this isn't an advanced mechanics class. This is a basic mechanics class. And so I came up with that idea to do that. But it's really not about mechanics. It's really about Jesus. And so they understand that. So to come to the class, you're signing up to come every day of the week and spend a half an hour to an hour in Bible study before the class, and then you're going to learn mechanics. And they're totally okay with that. They're happy to do that. And so that's how our program works. We spend time in the Word first thing, starting at 7:30 every morning, and we go through our Bible study. And I'll just talk about our Bible study quickly because it's a good thing that you can do with anyone. And so we use what's called the Discovery Bible Method. And so we use the Discovery Bible Method where we read a passage. So we have, actually, if you Google it, you can find Discovery Bible Method. It'll give you some lists of different things, like if you want to talk about creation and God the Creator and things that God created, they'll give you some little passages, or sin, how sin came into the world. They'll give you some little passages that you can work through. And so we read the passage. We read it in Chichewa, which is the language for our section of Malawi. It's the main language, Chichewa. We read it in Chichewa, and we read it in English. And most of the students can understand the English, but they may not be able to read it. And so we do it in both, and then we have a discussion. And the first question we ask is, could someone tell me that passage in their own words? And so someone has to do it. And then we say, well, is there anything you want to add? You know, or is there something that they missed? And so everyone has a chance to talk. So this is a group of about, we start with 12 students. So it's a group of 10 to 12 and one or two helpers. So it might be 13, 14 of us all together in this little circle talking. And so then someone explains what they heard, and someone else might add to it. And then we ask, and where do you see God in the passage? And sometimes passages don't specifically say anything about God, but you have to think about, well, what's the passage really talking about? Oh, okay, well, God's directing these people to do this, right? And so you can see God in the passage, and we talk about that. We bring that out, talk about it. And these guys are coming from, we have Muslims, we have non-believers, we have people that come from Christian churches. And so it's just a good chance to get into God's Word and hear these responses, and I can kind of direct it a little bit. And my leader, Joshua, he can kind of direct it a little bit. So it's just a good opportunity to engage in God's Word, right, and see what God has for us. And then the third thing we talk about is, well, where do you see people in the passage? And so we talk about, well, maybe what characters are there, or how it might influence a person. We talk about that. And then we say, well, what does the passage ask you to do? And that can be a tricky one. You know, sometimes you have to think. And that's a hard thing in Malawi. They're not really taught to think. They're taught to do everything by rote. And so we work on skills of thinking, and as mechanics, we want to think about thinking. But when we're in God's Word, we want to think, what's the point of this passage? Why? You know, what is it asking us to do? How will it affect our life, right? And then we ask, what is the passage, how will you obey the passage? So now we've talked about, sometimes they say, it sounds like the same question. Well, no, it's tell you, what is it asking you to do, and how will you obey it is more of a personal thing, right? And so ask the question, well, how would you obey it? And then we ask a really hard question. Who would you tell? But we're specific. You can't say, oh, my family, oh, my friends. You got to name somebody. And a lot of times we check up on that person. And they're like, yep, they came and asked me, told me about the passage and what they heard. And so it's good. So in our community, between our staff and the school teachers and students at Tabitha and students at Barnabas, which is the mechanics program, there's like 30, 40 people around there, and so they might name somebody there, and so then, of course, we're all together at different times, and we can ask each other, oh, did this person tell you about, oh, yeah, it was really good. They told me this and this and this. That's what they're learning, so it's a good follow-up, and then the next morning, we might ask again, well, who'd you tell, and how did it go, and so it's just a good follow-up. Then we have prayer points, and we pray, and so it's just, and through that, we've seen changes in guys' lives. We've had a couple students that have come to receive Christ because of that. Quite a few students, I guess, have come to receive Christ because of that. Because then we also do a one-on-one where I challenge them. We sit in a room and, you know, just not in the crowd of 12 or 13 or 14 people, just the two, three of us, myself and the student. We ask them questions, you know, how's your life going? What's happening where you stay? Because that's, they don't say where you live, they say where you stay. So what's happening where you stay? And who lives there with you, you know? You know, do you have parents? Do you just have siblings? Who's there? And so we're able to talk about those things. And what does it mean to be a Christian? It's a great question. In America, everybody, a lot of people say they're Christian, right? What does it really mean to be Christian? Do they know Jesus as their personal Savior? What does Jesus tell Nicodemus? You must be born again, right? So that's one of the passages that I go through in a one-on-one. We always talk about that. And so we get good responses. Well, my parents took me to church when I was a kid, and so I'm a Christian. But no, you yourself, you're not. And so that's just a good thing to think about. And so this is just a discipleship method. We're just working together all the time. And, you know, for men, it's always good to be working on a project, right? You work on a project together. You grow closer together. And so it's just all of that is all part of what Barnabas is all about. So we do our Bible study. And then just a quick overview. And, you know, if someone wants to know more specifics. So we do a basic mechanics program. Well, you have to understand where these guys come from. So they've never had a wrench before. They call it a spanner in Africa, but they've never had one. They've never had a screwdriver or a hammer, and they think that everything's a hammer. If you got to hit something, whatever you got in your hand, you just hit it with that, you know. And so you got to learn, you know, the proper names of tools. And I always tell them, this is just my good example. If you're laying underneath the vehicle and you need something and your buddy's there, if you say, get me that thing, what are they going to get you? You need to know the right name. You need to tell them what you want, right, so that you can get the tool you need for the job. Otherwise, you have to keep climbing in and out and getting them yourself, right? So the first thing we start with is tool identification and how to use them, that they're not hammers, and what we want to use for hammer. You know? And so that's the first thing we do. And it's all new to them. This is not a common thing. So you have to realize that when our leaders, Fred and Cindy, went there, there was very few cars in our area of Malawi and very few motorbikes. It was mostly bicycles. And it's just grown. You could ask Rick about that. It's just grown, the number of motorbikes. There's motorbikes everywhere now. There are little Chinese motorbikes, not big motorcycles, but they're everywhere, and there's more and more cars every year. So that just keeps growing, and so the ability to be able to work on these things is fantastic for them because there's going to be more and more job openings, more and more places where people are working on vehicles of any different types, more and more people that are selling parts, used parts and new parts, and so there's a lot of opportunities there. In our class, after we learn about tools, we learn about engines, how engines work, what you need to have an engine function, and we go through taking engines all apart, putting engines all back together. And something that I learned, which you get a good kick out of, is that, you know, when you look at, if you had all the pieces, like I got these two outboards in a bag from a guy at the lake, and we had to just lay them on the table and figure out how they fit together. So we use a puzzle. It's one of our early classes. We work on puzzles. And Malawian students have never had puzzles before because it's just not part of their life. So I have these. I have this puzzle, and the pieces are about this big, right? It came from the preschool. I took it from them. The pieces are about this big. And they get a biggest laugh out of trying to make this puzzle because they've never done a puzzle before. And the first few times, it could take over half an hour for three or four guys to do this puzzle, which in our mind, we're just like, well, how can that even be? Because they don't understand, you know, how to put the puzzle pieces together. And I try to show them, you know, keep the straight edges, they're the perimeter, you know, and things like that. And you can find the corners, right, because they have the two square edges on them. And it's a learning thing for them. And so I try to relate that to when you have engine pieces, you can kind of look at them and see, okay, this is the same shape as here. That'll probably fit there and put it together, just like a puzzle. And so this is all learning. So they're not looking to become master mechanics at your local Ford dealer doing all the electronics. They're just trying to get the basic things done, right? And so that's where we start. We start with some basic things like that. yeah, we also have to learn how to use manuals. And then the other thing is that's really great nowadays, you can Google almost anything how to fix it, and you can get information. And so a few of them will have a phone, and they always use my phone. And the other thing we've learned is when you take something apart, and this is a good for anyone, take something apart, take a lot of pictures of it with your phone because you can just keep snapping pictures, and then you can say, well, I don't know where this went, and you can start looking at the pictures and find where it went. And so that's all learning. And so we have a little video that actually Dave made for me When Dave was visiting one time, he came to Barnabas and saw what we did. And so we have a little video for Barnabas.
So I'm Chuck Pippin. We're in Kowali, which is a section of the Long Way, where we have our community impact center. And this is called the Barnabas Center right here, where we're doing mechanics. So I have 10 young men that are working out in various projects. We started with a smaller engine, worked our way up to a, it came out of the Tuk Tuk KK, you can see right there. So we totally disassembled the engine down to basic nuts and bolts and little pieces. And then we've reassembled it. And tomorrow we're gonna be putting it back inside the vehicle. So then we'll start it up. And so that's what our program is. It's really a discipleship program. We spend about an hour in the Word, answering questions, talking about a relationship with Jesus. And then we're trying to learn a little bit of a skill that we could use to make money for the, so they can support their families. And then we have a little truck that you saw outside here. We got this small truck and we do the same thing. The thing nice about the truck is four students can put it up on its side, right inside where the KK was, and we can work on the bottom and take everything off and put it all back together. And then the other thing is it's, it doesn't have all the electronics. So it's just an old basic four cylinder engine. We tear the engine all down, do a valve job, put it all back together, and there it is. So that's it. That's what Barnabas is. Thank you, Dave. So we have other ministries going on. So as it's, you saw at the bottom, it said Community Impact Malawi. So that's the name of our NGO, non-government organization in Malawi. So everyone has to be registered with the government as an NGO. And that's our name, Community Impact. And so we have other ministries going on. We have interns that come and spend about a year with us. And in that year, they read through the Bible and they have a prayer journal, which is where they write down, they read the scripture passage, they write down some ideas, write down some prayer requests, and they do that every day. And then we have a one-on-one meeting with them every week, and we go over, you know, that they've been going through their prayer journal, things that they've learned, things that God's taught them, things about that they've learned about themselves, things they've learned about other people. And so it's just a mentoring program just to build them up. And so some of the teachers that Diane started with had gone through that same program before they got into the teacher training program. So it's our one-year mentoring. And then the guy that was on the far right that had on Joshua, he was in my very first Barnabas class. Then he was an intern, and now he's actually going to teach the class for me in September in Kowali. And so he'll be teaching Barnabas in Kowali, and I'll be just checking on him a couple days a week. But I'll be teaching a new class at the refugee camp. So we're trying to start just expand it that way. And if I raise up a teacher at the refugee camp, then they can teach it, and I'll just kind of keep track of them. And so that's what we're trying to do now with Barnabas. So we're trying to expand it that way. And then we have the Tabitha Center, as we said. So some of the other ministries, we do elder care, where our staff and our interns visit elderly grannies and grandpas in our community. So these are all dirt roads, kind of like that. Rick could tell you about that. And they all walk to these different things. They take them some small amount of food, some different things, like a bag of sugar is a really big thing. They'll take them a little bag of sugar, some bars of soap. They call them tablets, but a couple things like that. And they'll go visit grannies and grandpas. So that's elder care. They do that a couple times a month, maybe every week, maybe every other week. Kind of depends on their schedule. Yep. And then they pray with them, and they read God's word to them. And so it's all about building relationships through God's word and bringing the gospel to people that, you know, we don't necessarily know. Some of them have, we'll get to this later, but some of them are, like, coming to our church now. So it's just another way to reach out to people. And a lot of them are, a lot of grannies are kind of neglected because their family's off busy doing things, and they're just there in their little building, their little house, by themselves, not doing too much. And so it's just a great opportunity to meet with them. And then started by Gail, but we have another ministry called Abigail's Treasures, which it's the same thing, but it's for young moms that just had a baby. So they take some food, a blanket, some clothing to these young moms, and they visit. Sometimes they visit them in the hospital. Sometimes they heard that, oh, somebody over there had a baby, so they'll all go over there. These are all our girls. All our girls will go over there. All of our staff and everybody are in their 20s, so I don't think anybody's 30 yet. Is anybody 30 yet? So all these girls will go over, they'll visit, they'll take five or six of them, they'll go over and they'll pray with the mom,
and hold the baby and, you know, ooh, nice little baby. And they'll bring them some bags of sugar and some tablets of soap and stuff like that. So it's the same thing, just another way to connect with people, read some verses with them maybe, pray with them before they go. And they do the same thing in the hospital. They go and visit the maternity ward. So not far in Kuali, there's a little community hospital, if you want to call it that. And they go there and pray with the moms there in the maternity ward. So it's another connection, just make connections with people and pray with them. Also, we have sports. For people that are into sports, it's called Beyond Sports, and it's because it's based on a Bible study, and then they play what they call football, which is soccer, and then we have a netball team, which is a girls' sport. It's like basketball, but there's no backboard. It's just the hoop, and so it's a little bit different. And then we also have a basketball team for guys, and so the same thing. It's a discipleship program. It's led by one of our staff members. They're the coach, but they're leading the Bible study. They're encouraging them, working with them, and then they go and play. And it's fun because at the football games, I go to them once in a while. At the football games, they pray with the other team at the end. And so it's not just about them, but it's also community outreach to others in our area that are that have football teams. We also do a thing called maize distribution about once every other month. So some of the people, food is an issue. So there's food insecurity in Malawi. And so maize distribution, it's a 20 kg bag of UFO, which is maize flour. There's their main diet, and so we pass that out to about 20, 25 families about every other month to people that are identified in our area where most of our staff walk. Most, you know, this is Malawi. Most of them walk, and so they kind of know, well, that family over there really has no food at all. And so they'll get picked, and the moms will be invited, and they do a little gospel presentation. They sing a couple songs. They encourage them. They pray with them, and then they give them a bag of UFA maize, and they can go with it. And then we have an evangelistic team that does the same kind of thing. They have specific people they want to go target and go talk to, and they go out and they walk to wherever they are and go meet with them. And we have another program called Above and Beyond. It's after-school tutoring. And so some of our, actually one of them is a teacher at the school, but in the afternoon they do Above and Beyond for kids that are any school-age kids, and but they break them down into categories. And so they help them with their homework, help them, so that they create some practice tests and everything before their final exams. And so, again, it's a Bible study, and then it's help you with your schoolwork, help you do better in school. It's an important thing. And then we also have, they do a public school outreach where they go to the schools. So they're invited to come to the schools. They sing some songs. They bring a Bluetooth speaker, you know, big one that they stand up, and it's loud, and they can all sing, and they get all the kids excited, and they do things with them, and then they share the gospel. And so that's totally encouraged. You can do that anytime at the school. And then we also have a computer class. So a couple of our guys were interested in computers. So, again, we're trying to use whatever people know, right? And, you know, and I'm telling you, a computer class, they're not doing some fantastic on them. They're learning how to log into a computer, how to create an email, how to send and receive an email, how to, you know, do some basic things. Yes. But you have to realize, like, in a village like this, these people never had a computer before, so I think we have 8 laptops now. I mean, these are not even the laptops you would use. These are old ones, but they're functioning. They can do all these things, and they can practice. I mean, part of it is just learning how to work the keyboard, you know, how to hit the right things you want to hit. And so it's just another way to have a Bible study and draw people in. It's just another thing that you can do. And so that's, you know, one of the things that we do there. So out of all this, we also were having gatherings once a month, and it became twice a month, of all of our staff and everything. And we were just having a celebration of what God's doing, right? We were praying, we were singing, we were having a little service, a little preaching. And people were hearing it, even though in Malawi, everyone lives in a compound. So even in Kuali, there's brick walls between all the buildings. Or not all of them, but a lot of them. People could hear it, though. What's going on over there? And so people started, could we come? And so people started coming. You know, mostly like older women or younger women that were just at home, they'd be like, well, let's go over there and sing with them, people. So they'd come over. I mean, because they're singing in Chichewa, which we have to learn how to sing in Chichewa. So they're singing in Chichewa so the people know what they're singing. And then the same thing, there was a lady on the other side of the wall from Barnabas, and she'd say, and our guys were practicing because everybody does a little performance, so my class would have to sing a song. And she goes, I love that song. I want to go when those boys sing. And so through that, people started coming to these things. And so it was like, we were talking to a Malawian church planter, and he said, well, you already have a church. You already have 100 people coming to your thing. You better just call it a church and put it. And so that's what happened. So here we have a little video on that.
Malawi is called the warm heart of Africa for a reason. The people here are resilient, generous, and deeply spiritual. But like many places, there's also hunger. Not just for food, but for hope, for purpose, for a place to belong. This is the story of how a group of ordinary believers said, "What if the church could be that place?" This is the story of our new church. And today, we want to take you inside that journey.
We started our prayer gatherings in 2022. At first, we were just meeting as community impact staff. So we are people from different churches, different backgrounds, but would meet and pray together. So after people noticed that we are singing, we are praying, they started asking us if they can join. And the door was open for them. They started joining us. So we used to meet once a month. After that, we started meeting twice a month.
So why start a new church? Wasn't there already enough churches in Malawi? The idea for this church was born in prayer and confirmed in pain. We couldn't ignore what we were seeing. So we decided to start a church that is word-centered, spirit-led, and community-focused. Not perfect, but present. Not just preaching, but practicing.
So being that we have two kinds of expectation, so based on our vision and mission. So the mission is to restore hope and transform lives by sharing God's love and creating a safe space where children, youth, and families can heal, grow in faith, and discover their purpose. And the vision is to be a church where people feel the love of Christ and know the Christ through the church. So that's what we believe in, and that's what we are focusing. So as a church, what we need more, what we need to focus now here, as we already know that we are already doing the maize distribution, and also we are meeting with the kids in the community, and also we're doing evangelism, and also we're doing elderly program. That's what we have been already doing. So as that time goes, we still need more support that we can reach a lot of people within the community or even outside the community, because it's a church that we need to reach a lot of people around Malawi, around Kawale, around Area 23, around Biwi. That's the surrounding communities that we have.
Every organization needs a compass. For us, that compass is our mission and vision. That means we're not just gathering crowds. We're raising disciples. People who don't just hear the word, but live it. People who can pray, serve, forgive, lead, and love like Jesus. We dream of a church where a teenager finds purpose before peer pressure finds them. Where a widow is cared for before she asks. Where a man battling addiction finds freedom and becomes a leader. So what happens now that we've started? What are we expecting?
So that is one of the questions that people asked. For us, we never started the church in order to compete with anyone, but we started it because we saw the gap in terms of what the church is supposed to be and what it is currently in our environment, in our area, in our community. So most of them, yes, they have come to know Christ and they have come to receive Him, but they don't know how they can be walking with Him each and every day. For them, Christianity is something that they do when they go to church on Saturdays or on Sundays, but during the week, from Monday to Friday, they are living a different life. They don't know how they can be living as a Christian.
This is where we are today, a young church with an old gospel in a community that needs hope. We're not where we want to be yet, but we're further than we were a year ago. And we're convinced that the best is still ahead. To everyone watching in the US and beyond, Thank you for listening to our story. If God has placed it on your heart to partner with us, pray for us, or walk with us, a church, it's part of God's bigger story of redemption in Malawi. We believe God is doing something new here, and we invite you to be part of it. This is The Well Church. This is Community Impact Malawi, and this is just the beginning.
So you saw three of the four church leaders in that video, and they're the ones that are organizing what goes on, who's preaching, what songs, who's the worship team, and all that stuff. That's their position. I mean, John, the one that was in the middle, is actually a school teacher at the school. He teaches first grade. He'll be teaching first grade again next year, but boy, at the end, he's my person that's going to be teaching Barnabas in September. So the church is just another part of their whole life, all the things that they're doing. So our church meets on Fridays at 2 p.m. And goes for about, it's supposed to be a little over an hour, but it goes about 2 hours most of the time. So it's under a tent, and it's hot sometimes, and it's windy, but there we are, and it's just a great time. So you can pray for our church and about how that goes. So I would like to just take a look at the scripture today. If you would turn to Acts chapter 18, just as we think about reaching out to people and some good models, we have an Acts chapter 8 looking at this. I'll start by reading verses 1 through 11. So it says, after this, Paul left Athens. Remember, he was in Athens talking to the Stoic philosophers about the tomb of the unknown God, right? He went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife, Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there. And he went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack or harm you. For I have many in the city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. So I wanted to think about, just for a few minutes, about Priscilla and Aquila. You just met them here, right? Paul has just met them. He's come here to Corinth. And they were there. And why were they there? Because they were expelled from Rome, right? They were kicked out. So we know some things we know about them. They were husband and wife. They had to relocate. Sometimes people have to relocate for jobs, but they had to relocate because the government told them they had to relocate, right? We know they worked together. We don't know if they were already believers when they were forced out of Rome, but we know from the rest of Scripture that they were certainly believers, right? We know they had a trade. They were tent makers. They worked together making tents or repairing tents. And Paul, he also was a tent maker. And so he worked with them for up to maybe a year and a half working together. Well, in that time, like I said before, working together is a good time to talk about the gospel, talk about what God's doing in your life, and working together through those things, right? And so there's people that you all work with, people that you could talk with and say, "Oh, what's God doing in your life? Have you seen God do anything this week?" You know, good chance to bring things like that up, right? Ask them, see what they say. And maybe you should have a testimony too. "Well, God did this in my life this week. What's happening in your life?" Right? And I'm sure you're sitting around there for a year and a half so intense you're talking about all these things, right? So think about that. And it says he goes to the synagogue every time to preach to the Jews, and then eventually he shakes off his sandals and says, "Well, now I'll go to the Gentiles." But they're not at the synagogue every day, all day, you know? So other times they're together working on the tents, talking. So it's discipleship. Paul's discipling Priscilla and Aquila in this time, right? we know that Paul was there for a year and a half. So now let's just look at verses 18 and 19. Same thing. Yeah, I should say, don't close your Bibles. We'll read a couple of verses as we go along here. So after this, Paul stayed many days longer, and then he took leave of the brothers, and he set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. So they set sail with Paul, so they went on a journey with him, right? He was going somewhere else to share the gospel, to preach in synagogues. Priscilla and Aquila went along with him. And then it says, the next verse, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Okay, so he left them in Ephesus. So now they're in Ephesus, and he's now Priscilla and Aquila have been left in Ephesus. Then later it says they had a home church in their house in Ephesus. So they were reaching out to their community. They were drawing people in, teaching them the word of God, right? And then you get to a little bit later, verses 24 to 28, it says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. So remember, that's where Priscilla and Aquila are. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord and had been fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross over to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him, and he wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Okay, so now we have our couple, Priscilla and Aquila, right? And it says they've been disciples now at least a year and a half with Paul. Then they'd gone on a little bit of a journey, but they've been left in Ephesus, and now they're working in Ephesus. They have a home there. And they meet this guy, Apollos, and they listen to him. He's like, he's good, but he's a little bit off in this one area about baptism. And so what do? It doesn't say they stood up and complained, right? They took him aside and spoke to him and said, look at the way more accurately of what the Bible's saying, or what the scriptures are saying, and that the Christ, it's all about him, and that we want to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, okay, great. And then they encourage him to go off and share with more people what he's learned, right? So they corrected him. Not only did they learn the scriptures themselves, but they also corrected someone that was a little bit off, right? They helped them do that. So later, we won't turn to all these other passages, but later in Romans 16, verses 3 and 4, Paul says that they, Priscilla and Aquila, have risked their necks for my sake. So we don't really know what that means. Maybe it was when there was an uprising in Ephesus or whatever, but they stood up for him. They protected him, right? Kept him safe. Then we see that they were hosting that home church in Ephesus. It's listed in 1 Corinthians 16, 19. And then again, they go back to Rome, and there they host another home church in Rome. In Romans 16, verse 5, it talks about that they were hosting a church at their home, inviting people into their home. So who can invite people into their house? Anyone, right? Invite them into your house. Tell them what God's done in your life. So that's, you know, the things that are going on in Malawi. We're just inviting people, telling them what God's doing, getting into God's word. And then finally, the last time they're mentioned, about 15 years later from the beginning of where we started, somewhere, give or take, 15, 16 years, Paul writes his final letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4, chapter 4, verse 19, he says, Paul urges Timothy, greet Priscilla and Aquila. So their names are mentioned again here. Always together, they're always named Priscilla and Aquila. Together, it's this couple. But look at the things they've done. They've spent time with Paul, been discipled by him. They've stood up for the word of God in front or with Apollos when he was proclaiming something, and they told him, helped correct him to the way more accurately. And then they've had house churches in different cities, different places that they've lived. And now Paul still finally remembers them 15 years later, because maybe he had some other interactions that aren't recorded in Scripture, but he still remembers them, right? So we hear about this, and why do we want to think about them? So I want to challenge all believers to think about what they've done. So let's think about this. Jesus said, whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. That's Mark 8:35. So what does it look like to lose your life for Christ? I'm not talking about going out and getting yourself killed, right? Doesn't mean we have to take the gospel to some extremely dangerous place. Maybe it just means talking to the guy across the street. Maybe it means talking to the person across from you at work. Priscilla and Aquila lived out this idea. And they call us all to a similar discipleship lifestyle. Losing your life for Jesus could involve supporting those who proclaim the gospel and plant churches, even in your area, right? Devoting your time and energies to your local church, right here. Growing in your knowledge of the Bible. We should all be doing that. Rick said something about and the things that we don't even know, right? There's things we don't even know. Even scholars don't know everything. There's always something new God can reveal to us. Be in his word, study his word. Discussing God's word with others. Again, might be your neighbor, might be someone you work with. I have a brother-in-law who as a kid was a bowler and hadn't bowled for years, decided to join a bowling league. You know why he joined a bowling league? It wasn't because he really wanted to bowl. It was because it gave him a chance to interact with some other people. I always thought that was the greatest thing. I was like, wow, that's pretty good of you, Glenn, to do that. But he specifically did it to interact with other people. Maybe there's some skill, maybe something you can do, or you could interact with other people that you aren't doing now, but you could say, you know what? If I went to a bowling league and I bowled, I don't know what, you know, every Thursday bowling is, people are sitting in the chairs, right? And then there's one guy rolling the ball. You get to talk to them. The same thing when our kids were little, they played Little League, and I talked to all the parents. You know, maybe your kids are playing soccer or Little League or something. Talk to those parents. You get interact with them, right? Let's see. Another one would be going anywhere the Lord says to go, whenever he says to go. Now, that's a hard one. I had a guy say to me, I would never go to Africa. I was like, well, why not? You know, if God wants you to go somewhere, it's going to probably work out pretty good when you look back at it in hindsight, right? When you first go, it might be kind of scary, but. Right? Who knew? Right. Using your resources for the advancement of God's kingdom. I know you are because you've got Dave and you've got Rick and Gail. They're going to Malawi and other places and encouraging people in God's word. Just think about that. There was a study we did a long time ago, a guy named John Bevere, and he had this study that said, you know, God's going to build his house, his kingdom, right? And if he's calling you to be the electrician and you don't show up, he's going to get a different electrician, right? It's going to happen whether you show up and do your part or not. But who's going to lose the blessing? The electrician that didn't show up, right? If you're the drywall guy and you don't show up, he's going to get a different drywall guy. It's going to happen. And you're just going to lose the blessing. So if he calls you to do something, if you want the blessing, go do it. Being willing to die for fellow believers. Again, it said that Priscilla and Aquila risked their necks for Paul. What does that look like? I don't know, but when God shows you, you can see it. Be willing to risk your neck for other believers. So all these actions we see in the account of Priscilla and Aquila, and all of these are things that we can do too. And so I'd just like to end by going back over that list. Support those who proclaim the gospel and plant churches. You have people in your fellowship that are doing different things. Support them to do that. Devote your time and energies to your local church. It's one way to build up the body of Christ, right? And then everybody can go out and do the things that God has for them. Grow in your knowledge of the Bible. There's never a time when there's not more to learn. Discuss God's word with others and even correct some if they need correcting. Do it in a gentle way, but correct. Go anywhere the Lord says to go, whenever he says to go. Maybe you're at home and you're getting the mail out of the mailbox and God's saying, go talk to that lady down there that's getting the mail out of her mailbox. She's in a bad way. And you're like, no, I don't really want to do it. Maybe she just needs someone to pray with her for just a minute, you know? I don't know. If God prompts you, see the lady down the street at her mailbox again. Discussing God's word with others and even correcting them. I guess I said that one. Use your resources for the advancement of God's kingdom. And be willing to die to follow believers. So, for fellow believers. So, just in my encouragement is, you know, again, we're just regular people, just like Elijah. He's just a regular human being, you know. We're just regular people doing what God's called us to do. And it's not that we're super duper at anything. We're just regular people. And just trying to do the best we can. You know, God's called us to Malawi. We've really enjoyed being there. We've enjoyed hosting people, even if we're not present with our house. There's another couple from Canada that are staying in our house right now while we're not there, who were in between these are all rented houses, in between rented houses, and they had no place to go. And I said, just stay at our house. So I WhatsApp back and forth with him, and he's doing good there. So just do whatever, you know, God has for you. Don't be afraid. The more times then you feel prompted to do something and you don't do it, it gets easier and easier not to do what God has for you. So it's better just to be willing and go out there and take your chance, because God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Thank you.
Gail's coming up to pray for you guys, all of us to pray for you. You know, it's community impact. I did know that. And you can go online and see their website and see all these things, and you can bless them if you want to. Obviously, we will as a church. But you've blessed us so much more than we could, and we're so thankful for you. So we're going to have Gail just pray a blessing, and all of you join us. Would you stand?
I want to just say something, too. Okay. I think it's interesting is that I have my little basket from Malawi, and I was at a yard sale, and somebody mentioned the basket, and I said, I got this in Malawi. We just chatted, and I drove away, and then I felt like the Lord said, where are you in such a hurry to go? And so I actually turned around and went back and found out more about you guys. So I just think it's that hearing the Lord and not being so busy, just slowing down. So, yeah. So I just want to pray for you guys. Lord, thank you so much for, this is such a blessing. This is such a blessing. And I think of how many years I prayed for somebody to go visit the babies and to see Martha and just to be able to go with them and pray for the babies there, to be part of something like this. And I thank you so much for them and their creativity and their open house, their willingness to just host people and to love on people. And I just thank you so much for them. I pray that your will would be done with their ice cream shop. If you want it sold or you don't, you just give them direction there. And I specifically pray for, is it Silas? For Silas, that he would find friends, God, that somehow you would bring joy into his life in Malawi and direction. And just encourage Savannah and also as they're over there. And just bless their journey here, Lord. I pray that they would do well financially with the ice cream shop and that in your time you would sell it, Lord. Just thank you for them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So why don't you guys be right over here.
Newsletter. If you put your email on there,
yeah, there are newsletters on that you can get. There's a pad and paper. You can leave your information, your email on for them. Yeah. And if people want to talk to you, you can be over here for a few minutes. I'll be over here, and others can join if you need prayer still today. God bless you.